to me back several months back in the midst of all of the just the chaos and things going on in our world. And just things going on. And as I was praying and just said, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want to say in this season? What is a now word, a word? And I felt like the Lord said to me, arise and build. And sometimes when you think about that, you think about, well, I don't know if this is the time to build. I know it's the time to arise. I just don't know. But I felt like the Lord spoke more than just in buildings and structural type things. I felt like he was talking about building people, building a community of faith, building relationships, building character. There's a whole lot of things that we need to build in this season. Can you say amen? And as well as some structural things, I felt like the Lord has given us some vision for some things, even in the natural that we're building. If you've noticed, we've got a couple of new roofs put on. We've had some repairs done to our air conditioning system. We are building a new sound room in the back there. We will have a camera and new technology for live streaming that will run through our system. We'll have new computers and technology, and our sound people will actually be able to see above the heads for now. So there's some things that are happening in the natural, too, that I felt like the Lord has spoken to us to build, and more yet to come. So stay tuned. But and so we've talked a lot about the book of Nehemiah. We've talked about the gates. We've talked about the fact that, anybody remember what the name Nehemiah means? The comforter. Nehemiah's name means the comforter, and Ezra means the helper. Aren't you thankful for the power of the comforter today? I was thinking this morning, you know, God just makes you live what you preach. He makes you trust what you say. And so I'm thankful for the power of the comforter. And I'm thankful that, God is never caught off guard. God does not slumber or sleep. He has not missed the fact of where we are right now, but he's in the midst of it. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. There's a whole lot of shifting going on. And I believe there's been some dismantling of some things, but I also believe there's been some building of things. How many have ever been in a renovation project or remodel project? You know, on TV, when HGTV, when they get ready to do it, it's demo day, right? Everybody know demo day. And they go in with sledgehammers and they just start beating things apart. And my husband will say, why don't they just take a screw gun and take that down off the wall? Right? You know, they'll go in with these sledgehammers and bust up these perfectly good kitchens that they could have donated to the Humane Society or to the, you know, to Habitat for Humanity or something. But they go in with sledgehammers and they just, you know, they kick the sheetrock off the wall. And Dan says, first of all, they didn't glue that sheetrock on, or you ain't gonna kick it off the wall like that. Right? And then they go in with sledgehammers and they just want to dismantle everything. How many know sometimes dismantling can be done in an orderly way? A constructive way that you don't have to replace the whole house, and you might be able to use some of those building materials and turn them into something else, right? You can repurpose some things. You can pull some things out of the heap, out of the rubbish, and you can put those things back in a way that they can be used. And so I'm concerned sometimes when I hear and I see ministry from the pulpit come in with a sledgehammer instead of a screw gun, if you understand what I'm saying. Because there are ways to dismantle that are constructive that will save you time and probably injury. They don't show you all the injuries of all those people with those sledgehammers that never used a sledgehammer before. But there are ways to take out and then ways to build back. And I believe that's where we are in the church and in this season. And I believe that there are those who will be able to use the screw gun and not the sledgehammer. But if you've ever been in a remodel project and you've ever done that, you know, it's great to get started. But how many know after about a day or two into it, it's chaos? And there's sheetrock dust that goes places you didn't know sheetrock dust could go. And in the middle of it, and you get about halfway through that project, and you think, what were we thinking? Anybody? What were we thinking? And so, but it takes an end view. It takes, you got to have the end in sight before you start tearing things out, right? You have to know what the finished product is going to look like before you start dismantling some things. And so I believe that we are in that season, but one of the things that the Lord, and what I want to share this morning, I was going to go to another gate, but I felt like the Lord took me to this gate. We've been talking about the gates. Last week we talked about the valley gate and all of the different valleys that are listed in the scriptures, and the valley of Baca. We talked about the valley of Baca last week, and that the valley of Baca is the valley of weeping, but the scripture said that we can come through the valley of weeping victorious. Can somebody say amen? There are some times of weeping, but the thing that we got to remember is we are coming through the valley. We're not setting up there to stay, and we're not living in the valley of Baca. Amen? How many know there was a valley of Gehenna? There was a valley of Hinnom. When Nehemiah got ready to survey the city, he started at the valley gate. He started at the lowest place. And from there, he got a vision of what the city would look like when he was finished. In that place of the valley gate is the valley of Hinnom, or the valley of Gehenna, which is what we call the Potter's Field. It's also called the valley of hell. Anybody ever been in the valley of hell before? You might have started out in the valley of hell, but let me just tell you, you don't have to stay there. The key to the valley is passing through. When the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I say in this season, fear, you got to go in Jesus' name. Fear does not dictate who we are. And so there are some things that happen in the valley. How many know that Isaac dug a well in the valley? Valley of Gerar, I think it was. And what happened is he would dig a well, and someone, the Philistines, would come along and fill up his well with dirt. And he would go over and he would dig another well, and they would fill up that well. And he would go over and he would dig another well, and they would fill up that well. And here's what I want to tell you this morning. You're going to have to dig down sometimes in the valley, but when you hit water, don't quit digging. And if someone comes along and wants to fill up your well, dig another well. And everywhere you go, I want to be the person that leaves a string of wells behind me. You're going to know I've been there because there's going to be a well in the valley place that I dug and left and moved on to. Hallelujah. So I didn't want to preach about the valley this morning or the valley gate, but I do want to talk to you out of Nehemiah chapter 4, I believe it is. Is that where I'm going, Jamie? I gave her the wrong scripture and had to go backtrack. And I've read this to you before, but I want to read the chapter again because there's one thing I want to talk about this morning, and here's my concern in some of this season, is that when we talk about Nehemiah, the scripture said the people had a mind to work, and he set their people on the wall as families. I believe in the family unit. Yeah. I believe in families coming together, and I believe in a community of faith. And when I say that, when I'm talking about community of faith, I'm talking about the gathering of the saints. Let me just say, going to church is not old-fashioned. It's not yesterday. It is today. And I believe, you know, it's great that we have live stream. And one of the reasons I've held off on live stream is not so that the gospel can't go everywhere. It's so that we don't use live stream as an excuse to stay home in our pajamas and watch church when we need to be in the community of faith. Because let me just say, and I don't want to be hard or mean today, but let me just say, while you're watching it with your coffee and your pajamas, your kids are not. Come on. Or are they? Because here's the deal. The other Sunday when we didn't have church, I was a church hopper. I would tune into here, and I would watch a little bit of this church, and I would tune into there, and I would watch a little bit of church. But what happens in our household a lot of times is chaos hits, and where our mind is not focused, our kids aren't online, they're not getting a lesson, they're not connecting with their friends of faith. And I can't tell you how important it is to me, and even this season we've just walked through, to have a community of faith that stood with us, that served with us, that walked with us, that encouraged us in those seasons, and how much of a need I see in the world and even in lives of people where there's a lack of that community of faith, so that when they hit a brick wall, there's nobody there to pick them up. There's not that city of refuge to run to. I come down the road this morning and I told you, I said, I had in my heart, I got to get to church. I'm ready for some worship today. I need to take my focus off of where it was, and I need to put it on to where it's going. We're getting ready to go into the school season next week, and it don't look like anything I've ever done before, but here's what I know. God is still God. I'm still anointed and appointed, and God will move through me if I will keep my focus on where I need to go. What keeps me focused is my community of faith. And I told you last week, I need you guys. And you need me. And we need each other. What I love about praying over our kids this morning is I love looking at their different giftings and anointings. And not one of them are the same, and they're unique. And who God's called them to be. And some know what they want to be, and some don't know what they want to be, and some will change it 10 times before they get there, and that's okay. But how many know we need to challenge and make sure that our kids are getting what they need in this season? You need to pray over your kids this week. It's going to be different for them. Pray over your teachers, pray over your leaders, pray over all of our essential workers that have been in the midst of this. But one thing that keeps us strong and keeps us connected is our community of faith. And so I want to, and in Nehemiah chapter 4, and bear with me because I'm going to read a lot of it today, and then I'll try to hit a couple highlights and we'll go. Tears run down my face, but they also run out of my nose, so I hate it when that happens too. Amen. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, and I want you to just think about Sanballat as the voice of opposition. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Whatever your opposition, or whatever the obstacle you're facing, or whatever it is that limits you from doing what God has put in your heart to do. Your Sanballat might be finances. Your Sanballat might be your health. Your Sanballat might be your neighbor. Your Sanballat might be, you know, whatever it is. Discouragement, fear, whatever. But it said, it came to pass that when Sanballat, or the voice of opposition, heard that we built on the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they receive the stones, revive the stones out of the rubbish, out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah, an Ammonite, was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hallelujah. How many know the enemy can be like a sly old fox? Yep. But he has no place on your wall. Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own heads, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So, everybody say, so, we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. How many know you got to get a mind to work? You got to be in the right frame of mind to work. You ever have one of those days where you get up and you just got projects and you're like, I'm getting them done today? Two of you? Yeah. You have to have a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. If ever it is a season that the breaches need to be stopped. Breaches are simply a break in the wall. Breaches are simply a structure, a break in the structure. A dividing place, an open place. The breaches began to be stopped, and then they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, remember we shared a scripture on that and a sermon on that earlier. Never settle for the less. That might be what you survey. That might be what it looks like. It might look that opposition is around you everywhere you go, but nevertheless. Come on, somebody say, nevertheless. I refuse to settle for the less. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set out a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. There is much rubbish, and we got to clear the clutter. We got to declutter. We got to get rid of some rubbish. How many know in the spirit sometimes there's some things we got to declutter? In our doctrines, in our theology, sometimes there's some clutter that's got to go, some rubbish that's got to go. In our lives, in the natural, we got to clear the clutter. Anybody cleaned out any closets lately or decluttered or got rid of some stuff? And oh, the feeling when you get there. It's hard to part with some of the stuff you've had for years. But how many know you cannot introduce new until you make room for it? Can somebody say amen? Amen? You got to make room for something new in your life, something better. And so they cleared the clutter. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places when she shall return unto us, they will be upon us. Therefore, I set in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible and majestic, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us unto the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. I want to stop for a minute. It said when they came in and they began to make a report, they said the enemy is surrounding us on every gate. 10 times they said that the enemies are surrounding us about. And he said, so then I strategically started placing people into place on the wall according to their families, and I set them on the wall guarded and equipped with the proper attire to watch for the enemy. And when I was thinking about that scripture, when I talked about the community of faith is not just about you coming in, here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, and then we go back out into the world for the week, and it leaks all back out, and then we come back in next Sunday, and we say, fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Amen? And sometimes that's our mentality, that, like, I got to go get a Jesus fix to get me through the week, and then I come back and get another Jesus fix. No, that's not what a community of faith is about. That's not really about what church is about. It's okay if you do that. If you're in a season where you just feel drained and feel like you just got to come in and just get filled up, praise God for that ability. But the community of faith is not just about us getting filled up. It's strategically having families in our lives that are watching out for our children and our grandchildren and our families that say, hey, I don't like what I see over there. I see the enemy under attack. I see that there's a weakness over there. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to call them. I'm going to send a message. I'm going to get an email to them because I'm part of a family and part of a unit and part of a community of faith that I care about what happens, not just to my family, but to your family as well. Hallelujah. I covet your prayers over my family. And you got my prayers over your family. If you contact us, I guarantee you, and you let us know what's going on, we will pray for you. If you have a need and you call me up and say, Pastor Lisa, we have a need, we will do our best to meet that need. Why? Not because it's mandated, but because we are all part of a unit of a family set on a wall. And while one is doing the work, the scripture said another one had their back. Another is protecting them. When someone is weak, someone is struggling, there's somebody there that's got your back that says, I see you. I know what you're going through. Or I've been there and done that. I love you today. I might not be able to fix it, but I can hold your hand. I can lift you up. I can be a source of strength for you. And I can watch for an enemy that you might not see. Amen? You might see something that I don't see. That's why we're all established on the wall. It didn't say in the scriptures that he put preachers on every spot on the wall. He did put some worshipers. He did put some priests. And he did put some, all of those on the wall. But how many know he set families on the wall? Because I care about your family. I care about the unit. I care about what God. Because do you know, if families would stand up and make a declaration that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, a lot of what we see going on would start to shift. It would start to change. If you really want to change your nation, change your house. When you get up in the morning, set the temperature and set the atmosphere in your home that says today's going to be the best day ever. And don't change your mind when struggles come or chaos comes. I mean, no, we have to have, I said to you before, we must put in action the things that we declare and preach. If the Holy Ghost is strong in me, he's strong in me all day long. Amen. That power and that resource of the Holy Spirit is accessible to you. It is, as Sister Wilda would say, it's the dunamis. It's the dynamite power of God. It says, they which build it on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with one of his hands, laded every one with one of his hands, wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. I want to hang out by the person sounding the trumpet. If there's a clear sound. How many know the sound of a trumpet is the sound of the prophetic word that's coming forth? And you need to place yourself by someone who has a word in season that's going to be able to speak to you a word that'll get you through the season that you're in. Amen? A prophetic clear sound of a trumpet that sounded. And it says they were girded with their sword and their weapons. You know, we're not talking about going out and literally, equipping ourselves with swords and weapons and all of those kind of things. But how many know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? But, what's the next line? But they are mighty. They are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. How many know strongholds start in your mind? The strongholds start in your mind. Change your mind, change your direction, change your heart. The greatest thing you can change is your mind. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servants lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my burden, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard, which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saying that everyone put them off for washing. Hallelujah. Community of faith. And please understand, I understand that there are people that are concerned about coming in the middle of COVID and things like that. What I want to stress to you is a community of faith. We have the ability to stay connected in this day through social media, through podcasts, through text messages, emails, connection. How many of you can be connected to somebody all over the world in a matter of minutes or seconds? That we are connected not just in this church, but I'm so thankful that we have a community of faith that stretches farther even than this, the boundaries of these four walls, but that there is a community. And when it says that we were separated on the wall, I want to tell you that there's a church in Lexington, Tennessee that's building, and there's a church in Rocky Top, Tennessee that's building, and there's a church in Benson First Assembly that's building, and there's a Lighthouse Church in South Carolina that's building. How many know all of us are part of that same building, that same structure of what God wants to build in this season? It may seem like we're separated on the wall, but we got the same mind, the same heart, the same connection, the same purpose. Now is not a time to get quiet, get tired, or get lax. Amen? It's a time to arise and build. It's a time to stay connected. It's a time to stand up. It's a time to sound the trumpet. It's a time to get our families. If anything that we should have done over these last couple months, we should have been able to spend time with family. Good, bad, or ugly. Amen. Hallelujah. And learn how to communicate. Put down the electronics. Pick up a game board or have conversation at the table or spend time. And I'm not against electronics. They're wonderful and they can be great. But we cannot lose our communication skills and our ability to have conversation and share. How many know you don't get someone's emotional state most of the time through a text? The art of conversation, the art of just hearing somebody's voice, communication. But over in Nehemiah chapter 6, I just want to read the first part of that. It says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah, remember those are the voice of opposition, and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Or could I say, come down to your level? So my question today to you is, I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. What is it that we let bring us down from the high place that we're in, the work that we're doing? How many know the voice of discouragement will bring you down? The voice of fear will bring you down. The voice of opposition will bring you down. You ever had your heart set on something to do, and then somebody comes along and said, that ain't gonna work. Crush your dreams. Destroy COVID. Sanballat's name should be COVID, shouldn't it? But you can have something set in your heart to do, and somebody comes along with all the logistical things of why it can't work. And just pulls the plug out of your tub. Don't you hate when that happens? But sometimes there are things, you know, and we've said this before, there are things that you got to do it afraid. There are sometimes you got to do things with one step at a time. There are some things you got to do without the finances. Jack shared the other day at Mom's going home, her homecoming celebration, and said that when we started this church, we didn't have any money to build a church. We didn't have a congregation. At the time, we didn't even have a builder. But my dad was a visionary, and he was a guy that just didn't take no for an answer. And we did a whole lot of things that didn't make sense. But here we are. There are some times when God puts things in your heart to do, and I'm talking to some of you younger ones and stuff too. Do not let finances limit you from doing what God has put in your heart to do. If you want to go to college for it, God will make a way for it to happen. If you are looking for a spouse or looking for a companion or whatever it is you're looking for, do not sell out, but trust God to bring to pass everything that He has promised for you. And do not come down off of the wall because Sam Ballett says anything different. You might get a diagnosis from your doctor, but he said, I'm not coming down off the wall. I'm doing a good work, and I'm not coming down from where I'm at. I want to tell you this morning, the kingdom of God is advancing. God is still in control. Great things are on the horizon. There are some things that are going to shift as we see it in our assembling, in our churches, in our schools, our communities. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm doing a good work, and I'm not coming down. I'm not going to look at things from an earthly level or an earthly realm. I'm going to stay up on a high place where God has placed me, and I'm going to keep my hand to the plow, and I'm going to do the work that God has mandated and called for this house to do. And I'm not coming down because the voice of opposition says anything different. Amen? How many know sometimes you got to silence the voices? The Lord spoke to me one time very clearly and said, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. And what He said to me was like this, very boldly. He said, the Lord is in His holy temple. Shut up, earth. In other words, quit taking commands from your earthly man. Silence that earthly man inside of you because the Lord is in His holy temple and everything else has to be quiet. Silenced before Him. I choose to trust the God on the mountain. I choose to trust the God who put in the heart. How many know Nehemiah spoke the words? The comforter spoke the words and said, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. I can't come down to your level of criticism. I can't come down to your level of fear. I can't come down to your level of adversity against what God has spoken. I'm on the wall. I'm doing a good work and I can't come down. Hallelujah. And I challenge you today to speak that over yourself, over your family, over your situations, over every crisis. Hallelujah. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. Be anxious or worried or fret over nothing. It goes on to say, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Can I say to you one more time in the year of 2020, focus. Focus on Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Check it out. Put it on your refrigerator. Stick it in your lunchbox. Whatever you got to do. Put it on the refrigerator. You'll find it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Go ahead and bring that one up for me, Jamie. In closing, I'll read that scripture. Philippians 2, 1 through 11, is that what it is? Yeah, go ahead and bring that one up in the NIV. We'll read that. And in closing, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Remember, again, we're talking about the community of faith, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. How many know we're all on the same team? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being formed in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Let this mind be in you, this same mind. The New King James Version says it great as well. Let this comforting mind of the Holy Spirit be in you. I mean, we don't operate out of an earthly mind. We operate out of a heavenly, this mind, the anointed mind, the head that is anointed with oil. That consecrated mind, that our focus, our thoughts, our actions be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That we work together as a team, as a community of faith, lifting up holy hands, lifting up one another, encouraging. Hallelujah. While one encourages, one prays. While one prays, another serves. And while one serves, another builds. And while one builds, another defends. I mean, no, that's what the community of faith, the church, the body of Christ is about. And what we see and what we do, we build together as we are positioned and placed on the wall. And we do it as families. Amen? Because we value. We value the strength of family. We value the church family. We value the family of God. Hallelujah. And I want to challenge you today. And rather, if you're watching at home, we love you. Thank you for watching at home. Thank you for being part of this body. Thank you for being a part of this church family. And I believe God's going to bring, things around, bring us back together. I'm not concerned about numbers. I'm concerned about people. We're not building a ministry here. We're building people. And if building those people develop into a ministry, then we've done what God's called us to do. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. We've already prayed over our kids. We've prayed over our teachers and things like that. We pray over our nations. And I want to pray over families today. All right? And let's just pray and believe God for families. And hallelujah. There's a little guy that's struggling with his jaundice levels, and he really needs a miracle today. And I'm believing God for a turnaround in that. Hallelujah. But if God lays something on your heart or someone in your heart, I just want you to intercede for them today as Beth prays. And let's just believe God. I'm believing for a season of miracles. I'm not looking for things to get worse. I'm looking for them to get better. Because I believe even in the middle of chaos, that's when God does his best work. He begins to say, let there be light. And there's light. Hallelujah. And he begins to separate light from the darkness right in the middle of chaos. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we pray today over families. We pray over marriages. We pray over spouses. We pray over children. We pray over grandparents and parents, and God, we thank you today that you are building us up in the most holy faith. Lord, for those that our heart cries out to, Lord, that you would bring salvation or that you would bring them into the fold. Father, we thank you that right now we dispense the power of the Holy Spirit to show up in their dreams, show up in their car, show up in their music, show up on their jobs. Father, because you are not limited by geography, you're not limited by boundaries. Father, I thank you. I thank you right now, God, that you are bringing families and households together. Lord, that you are placing us on the wall to complete what you have ordained out of this house. Hallelujah. Out of this community, out of this state and this nation, Father. Lord, to reach the nations of the world. We honor you today, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.